Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here on the Progressive Voices Network. We've got a deal for you. You can now subscribe to our new one-hour audio-video combination MalloyCast for only $29 a year. But you have to act fast. This deal ends on tax day, April 15th. Since we're without any business managers now, 100% of your support goes directly to maintaining our nightly campfire. Visit MikeMalloy.com to renew or to subscribe. And thank you for all the ways you keep it lit.
And now, from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
Well, hello, everybody. Once again, Mike Malloy here on the Malloy Podcast. Have you taken a subscription yet? As you know, we are running a very special special between now and the 15th of April. You can get a one-year subscription to this podcast, both audio and video, for the insane price of $29.95. That's for a year. If you have a subscription now that runs until next fall, now's the time to renew, because your renewal will be tacked on at the end of your current subscription, and it's only $29.95. After the 15th of April, it'll be back up to $49.95, which is still half of what it used to be. That's because we do 1 hour now. If you want to pay monthly, it's what, $8.95 a month?
$7.95
a month. That remains pretty constant.
It used to be
$9.95, but now it's $7.95, and that's forever. Well, not forever, as long as we're doing the podcast. So now's the time to subscribe. We have made this change anticipating that a lot of people will subscribe and will be in business for the foreseeable future. You know, unless I keel over dead from a heart attack or a stroke, in which case, do they get their money back? If I die?
No?
No? Sorry. That's right. She'd have to. Well, I'm not going to be buried. I'm going
to
be scattered.
Well,
okay, whatever. Dear God. There's just a note, too much of a note of joyful anticipation in Kathy's voice right now. But anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, subscription, subscription, subscription. Now is the time to do it, if you would please. Go to MikeMalloy.com, and there is a fact page there's now that Kathy put up that we hope will answer the questions that you may have about this new arrangement. As far as the book is concerned, we finally, do we have a publisher?
I think so.
And it is?
Ingram something.
It's an online publisher. Not online publisher, but a publisher who was going to put together a book for us that will be in your hands soon. We appreciate the patience that y'all have shown. The truth is, I am still rewriting and moving around certain sections of the book. The book is finished, but if you were a Kickstarter subscriber and you got those chunks of unedited stuff that we were putting at the Kickstarter site, some of that is still there. But you have to keep in mind that was a first draft. A lot of it didn't make any damn sense. It wasn't well written. And after going through all the rewrites that I put it through, I think what we have now is a good story, a series of stories that I think you'll find entertaining. And I might tell you, very little of it is about Trump. And that's by design. This is a memoir that I put together that has certain elements of Trump further into the book. But anyway, you will have it. What else? Oh, we're also going to be opening a merchandise mart soon. When does that go into effect? You don't know yet?
When the new website
is complete. But once it is complete you'll be able to order Malloy stuff if you're so inclined. You know, hoodie, a sweatshirt, T-shirt. What else? I guess just about anything that you would want that would have our logo on it. So that's how things are developing. The important thing right now is to subscribe while this super ultra dear God special is running. $29.95 for a year of both audio and video. Like I've said, we don't separate the two anymore. When you get a Malloy podcast, you get both. So if you're thinking about subscribing, now's the time to do it. Not that $49.95 is a big deal, but $29.95 is a hell of a better deal. So now's the time to do it. And that special runs between now and the 15th of April. All right? What's printing? A sponsor? Well, glory, hallelujah. Oh, it's Susan, for Earthy. Hi, all. I am excited about the new format and all the great deals. New year, new rants, keep it lit. Susan. Thank you, Susan. By the way, these sponsorships right now are only $25. They will be $50 after the 15th, which they have been, $50. But, well, first they were $100, then $50, and that drops right now to $25. So if you have an extra $25 sitting around want to sponsor the program one night, you know how to do it. Say what? And you can send a birthday greeting. What the hell does that have to do with anything? Huh?
Well, Mike, sometimes I think people just think that all we do is say, hey, keep it lit, great show, love the show. You can, your sponsorship can say anything. It can be a poem.
Okay.
It can be a birthday message.
Okay.
It can advertise your small product.
Okay.
Or your favorite political candidate.
Okay.
Or your pet cause. Or your upcoming yard sale. Or your dog's birthday.
Okay,
or,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. So, Susan from Seattle, only it's not Seattle. Now she's here in Georgia. So, Susan, thank you. For Earth was her, that's how we knew her for years. As we used to have a chat room until everybody in the chat room, including myself, seemed to go insane. So, Susan's sponsorship. Hi, all. I'm excited about the new format and all the great deals. New year, new rants, keep it lit. We shall. Speaking about new rants, I'm starting to agree with, I mean, I've always felt that Trump was insane. I got to do a little bit of Trump stuff here because he's really going off the rails. I mean, really losing it. His attacks on a dead man. His attacks on Kellyanne Conway's husband, his attacks on Republican members of Congress who are disagreeing with him now, it's really becoming, what's beyond bizarre? Something that is, I mean, bizarre squared, but something beyond bizarre. Trump is a very sick man. And I think what he needs to do is to sit on, in one of those, what do you call them, like those wooden chairs we have around the fire pit. What are those called? Adirondack chairs. He needs to sit on an Adirondack chair on his back porch and stare at the ocean and just shut the fuck up. Because he's really proving that this country is has a president. I won't say is being led by, because he couldn't lead himself. But this country has a president who is obviously, without a doubt, out of his goddamn mind. Anyway, McCain. When McCain was alive, I talked some real trash about McCain because I because of what his role was in the Vietnam War. A war crime that the United States committed against a country that could barely feed its own people, but had the stick-to-itiveness to kick our ass. And they did. using guerrilla warfare tactics that Ho Chi Minh had learned fighting the French, fighting the Chinese, fighting the Japanese. When the United States came around, it was just, okay, one more round of these bastards and maybe they'll leave us alone. And as far as I was concerned, McCain's role in that war had no honor, in my opinion. But McCain was alive when I made those statements. Does that make a difference? Well, to me it does. And my criticism of McCain was his specific role in our national war crime, being a pilot, a Navy pilot, to rain down death from the sky on people who either didn't know it was coming or were completely innocent. He was shot down, remember, over Hanoi. Hanoi was, at the time, the capital city of what was referred to as North Vietnam. But what Trump is doing, Trump attacks McCain because Trump is a psycho fuck, because he's out of his mind. There is no reason for Trump to say anything about McCain. No rational reason. The irrational reasons include the fact that Trump always was insanely jealous of McCain or anybody who had actually served in combat, even if the combat took place during the commission of a war crime. Trump doesn't differentiate. Trump is an asshole. And McCain was looked at with such respect, not just by Republicans, but by so many Democrats in the Senate and the House who looked at McCain, as our elected officials are inclined to do, as a war hero. I don't see him as a war hero. Trump said he's not a war hero because he got captured, which is the most horseshitty thing I think I've ever heard. But that's Trump. I didn't consider him a war hero because of his role. Now, did he choose the role? Apparently not. Is any combat veteran able to look back and say, well, I chose to attack that hill or bomb that city? It was my choosing. Or was he or she ordered to do that? I know. Nuremberg convictions made it very clear that I was only following my orders is not a defense if you're put on trial for war crimes. So you can see that the issue of McCain is very complicated, very complex. Trump doesn't know complicated from a horse's ass. To Trump, either he will insult people or he'll practically give them a figurative blowjob. There's no halfway ground with Trump. He gives the blowjobs until the person to whom he's doing that crosses Trump in Trump's addled fucking little pea brain. Once that happens, then Trump is like a vicious, like a Tasmanian devil, you know, just, you know, when his old lady said, well, if my husband is attacked, he will hit back. If my husband is hit, he will hit back twice as hard. Like a 5-year-old in a playground, in a sandbox. It is so disgusting to watch this creep. I'm getting too far into it. Anyway, Cindy McCain had to suffer some real shitty stuff from Trump's followers. Trump's core followers. I'm not talking about the 63 million people who voted for him. I think probably 80% of those people have come out of the ether and realized what they did. But the hardcore supporters of Trump, who will, as soon as Trump names somebody as a target that he, Trump, doesn't like anymore, or is making juvenile, ridiculous, cutting comments about, this 20% of his original group will attack like vicious fucking vampires. Because every one of Trump's followers on Twitter is a coward down to the bottoms of their feet. They are cowards, losers, whiners, crybabies. They've never done shit and never will. That's why they love Trump. So Cindy McCain shared a hate-filled message that she received from a woman who tweeted that she was glad that McCain was dead. Cindy McCain went to Twitter and posted a screenshot of a private message she received from this woman who addressed her using a pejorative. The pejorative is cunt. And in that message, the woman lashed out at both McCain's husband and their daughter. The woman wrote, quote, "Your husband was a traitorous piece of warmongering shit, and I'm glad he's dead. Hope your Miss Piggy-looking daughter," the one who's on The View, "hope your Miss Piggy-looking daughter chokes to death on the next burger she stuffs down her fat neck too, cunt." This is a Trump supporter. There's no surprise here. This is a Trump supporter. Cindy McCain said she shared the note because, quote, "I want to make sure all of you could see how kind and loving a stranger can be." Sarcasm. And she showed the sender's name, visible in the screenshot. McCain wrote, quote, "I'm posting her note for her family and friends to see," end quote. Now, I misspoke a minute ago. Cindy McCain is not on The View. That's the daughter, right? This sick message. Was the latest in a day of social media insults that started over the weekend when this sick bastard in the White House sent out or retweeted 50 tweets. I mean, think about this for a second. All of the issues that need attention by the President of the United States or his advisors. And this rotten fucker sits at Mar-a-Lago and writes nasty shit, part of which is attacking a dead person. He sent several attacking McCain, who died from brain cancer last summer. Meanwhile, some of the Republicans in the Senate, I don't know, it's like somebody shoved a sharp pointed stick on fire up their asses with this McCain attack by Trump. I mean, everything that Trump has done so far is horrifying. It's criminal. It's disgusting. And the Republicans have enabled him just to keep doing it, keep doing it. Yeah, send us some more nominees, unqualified as they are, for the federal bench. We'll confirm them in groups of 10. Johnny Isaacson, who is a senior senator from here in Georgia, said that Trump's criticism of McCain is, Isaacson's word, deplorable. And Isaacson promised to continue speaking out against Trump if Trump continues to speak ill of the deceased war hero and former Republican presidential nominee. Notice the qualifier. I'll continue to speak out if it's about my former colleague. Well, Senator Isaacson, who is dealing with his own health crisis right now, but Senator Isaacson, it's good to see that something that this psycho bastard can say or do, something will motivate you as a Republican senator to respond. If it takes Trump attacking a dead person, I want you to consider that, Senator Isaacson, just for shits and giggles. Of all the terrible shit that Trump has been involved in that we know about. Of all of his insults, of all of his stupidity and his incompetence. Now, you, Senator Isaacson, are willing to respond to this beast. Okay. Isaacson said, quote, it's deplorable what he said. He was doing a show for Georgia Public Broadcasting today. Isaacson said, that's what I said on the floor of the Senate 7 months ago. It will be deplorable 7 months from now if he says it again, and I will continue to speak out. Isaacson continued, quote, there aren't Democratic casualties and Republican casualties on the battlefield. There are American casualties. And we should never reduce the service that people give to this country, including the offering of their own lives to say political, to use as any political fodder in Washington, D.C., or anywhere else for that matter. Well, Senator, the mere fact that you're on Georgia Public Television, you were preaching to the already converted. There's not a single follower of Trump who even knows what public television is. They think it's someplace you go to watch Sesame Street. And as far as Georgia Public Television, okay, you're a senator from Georgia. But I just wonder if Isaacson is aware that what he said today, I'm sure by this time at night, it is now 9:20 Eastern Time here on the first day of spring, March 20th, 2019. And I wonder how many insulting, disgusting tweets have wound up on Isaacson's Twitter feed. I wonder how many emails calling him everything but a decent human being. And let me say this about Isaacson. I don't like a lot of his votes. I think he is he's putting the country at grave risk by continuing to just go along with the confirmation of some of these Republican judges. But Isaacson himself is a decent man. I remember when he first ran, I think he was a representative for, well, I knew him when he was in the Georgia House of Representatives years ago. I worked for a political publication here in Atlanta. I had occasion to write about the Georgia General Assembly and occasionally talk to some of these members of the General Assembly. And I remember talking to Isaacson, and he was a nice guy. In the wake of McCain's death last year, Isaacson gave a Senate speech at the time that said, quote, anybody who in any way tarnishes the reputation of John McCain deserves a whipping, because most of those who would do the wrong thing about John McCain didn't have the guts to do the right thing when it was their turn. Now, we can argue about that until hell freezes over, that in Isaacson's frame of mind, doing the right thing was bombing the fuck out of North Vietnam. Isaacson told Georgia Public Television today, quote, we can't talk about our veterans in any way but to thank them for the service they render, for the job that they do. He went on, if my kids started talking John McCain not being a hero because he was a prisoner of war didn't make any difference, they would have a serious conversation with me and I would have it out with them. End quote, referring to his own kids. McCain is, for a lot of us on the left, what I said, a complicated issue. Isaacson told the news outlet. He did an interview Tuesday with the Bulwark, which I guess is a right-wing or a conservative publication. He said in an interview then, I want to do what I said that day on the floor of the Senate. I just want to lay it on the line that the country deserves better. The McCain family deserves better. He's talking about this lump of shit that is the president of the United States. The country deserves better. The McCain family deserves better. I don't care if he's president of the United States and owns all the real estate in New York or is building the greatest immigration system in the world. Nothing is more important than the integrity of the country and those who fought and risked their lives for all of us. End quote. And Isaacson had previously made clear his reluctance to criticize Trump. Last week he said, quote, I'm not going to answer the question the way it was phrased, because the headline would be, Isaacson supports rebuking the president, and I'm not going to do that. And see, that's where Johnny Isaacson and I seriously split. Because if he can say what he said about Trump's filthy mouth, where it concerns McCain, what about Trump's filthy mouth that was directed toward the family, the Gold Star family of the soldier, a Muslim, who died in Iraq? Isaacson, as far as I know, never said anything about that when Trump accused that mom and dad of being less than patriotic to the country. So, well, Isaacson is, I'm not going to go back on what he said. I think he's a good person, basically. But what happens to a lot of these right-wingers when they get into politics, they lose their moral compass. They just do. They just do. And I think Isaacson is of that sort. To when he says, the headline would be, Isaacson supports rebuking the president, and I'm not going to do that. What the fuck does that mean? What would it take, Johnny, for you to rebuke him for a reason other than the way he is shitting on the memory of your dead colleague? What would it take? What would it take, not just for Isaacson, but for some of these other Republican senators whom I'm sure a lot of people say, well, that one's decent. I don't agree with his politics, but he's a decent person. Well, that one, you know. What is holding these people back? Now, my theory is that every single Republican in Congress is a fucking hypocrite and a liar and a cheat and a sneak and a coward. That's my overarching feeling since Trump has shown himself to be such a pig, and the Republican senators do nothing, nothing. They have foregone their constitutional role as a check and balance on a fucking psycho, should a psycho ever get the presidency, which has now happened. So Isaacson goes on to say, any way that I answer your questions is going to engage me in that line of thinking about rebuking the president. And I don't want to be on either side of it. You don't want to be on either side of it. Johnny, let me tell you something, pal. And I'll call you Johnny because we're about the same age. Matter of fact, I think I'm a little older than you are. But the fact that you don't want to be on either side of it shows me one thing. Not only have you lost your moral compass, for fuck's sake, you're as much of a hypocrite as Trump. It's just that you are more refined and more subdued in the way you show your hypocrisy. See, I know Johnny Isaacson to be a nice Christian man here in the state of Georgia. Goes to church whenever he's here. Oh, he does. And being a nice Christian man and giving this full-throated support. Sometimes you give full-throated support by just not saying anything. Like Pastor Niemöller said about the Nazis. I didn't say anything. Came for the Jews, I didn't say anything. Came for the trade unionists, I didn't say anything. Then they came for me. But Isaacson, you don't want to be on either side of it. And then he issues this little platitude. He says, quote, "I want us to get the job done for the people we represent and not fool around with a bunch of political fights that make good headlines but don't make good policies." Well, Johnny, if that's the case, then you and your colleagues should notify your colleagues in the House of Representatives that it's time to broom this motherfucker. Get him out! If you really, Johnny, want to get the job done for the people you represent, then wake the fuck up and get rid of this psycho. In the meantime, anything that Isaacson says about Trump's shit mouth where it concerns McCain is valid. It's something that's coming from Isaacson's core. But what about beyond that? You don't want to take a side on anything, Johnny? Really? Is that why the people of Georgia sent you to the Senate and continues to send you to the Senate? Because you're such a mealy-mouthed fucking coward, you won't stand up for the Constitution that you took an oath several times to defend and protect? You're showing your colors, Johnny. Isaacson told this conservative program that Trump's comments, quote, "drive me crazy," end quote. And he added that, quote, "nobody, regardless of their position, is above common decency and respect for people that risk their life for your life," end quote. But you are making a lie of everything that you tell the people of Georgia you stand for. You're making a lie of everything you go to your goddamn church on Sundays and pretend like you're singing and worshiping your God and acting like a good Christian. You are showing yourself to be a hypocrite. Your Bible tells you not to lie. You took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, and you have a rapacious, sick fuck who's destroying everything about this country's institutions. So saith Johnny Isaacson. Let's take a break. I'll be back momentarily. Trump went to Lima, Ohio today, a town I'm real familiar with. I had a half-brother who lived there for years. He was 16, 17 years older than me. So I'm familiar with Lima, Ohio. And it is it's a bastion of right-wingers. Lima, Ohio is in the farming area of it's right up against the Indiana state line. It's all farming area down there. They have some industrial plants that, matter of fact, they have some big ones there. But Lima has always been where they would stick the tube if they ever gave Ohio an enema. Anyway, that's where Trump went today. And he went there ostensibly to talk about manufacturing in Ohio. And he spent a good 6 or 7 minutes attacking a dead man. I heard some of his bullshit, and I noticed a couple of times I could hear the citizens of Lima applauding this pig when he attacked McCain. I'm so fucking glad I don't live in Ohio anymore. I swear to God I am. Anyway, That was the fourth time in the last 5 days that Trump has gone after somebody who died last summer. Unbelievable. He told the workers at a tank factory in Lima, by tanks, I mean military, you know. At a tank factory in Lima, he told the workers there, quote, referring to McCain, quote, I gave him the kind of funeral that he wanted. I gave him the kind of funeral that he wanted, which as president I had to approve. No, you didn't, you filthy lying bastard, you. You had to approve the lying in state, maybe. But you don't control people's fucking funerals, you psychopath. No wonder George Conway, another right-winger, has identified you as the sick bastard you are. Oh, well. And then he said, oh, I don't care about this, but I didn't get a thank you. The fuck did he want? Trump, McCain to sit up in the coffin and say, hey, thanks, chief. I didn't get a thank you. And then he said, that's okay. No, it's not okay for you, you shithead. Jesus. We sent him on the way, Trump added. But I wasn't a fan of John McCain. And he goddamn sure wasn't a fan of yours. You know, I can't get over. I can remember during the Reagan years when I was in talk radio, I used to talk about the deceit and the lies and the murderous treachery committed by people like Oliver North and General John Sinklaub and that whole raft of people that worked for Reagan, who were busy setting up peasants and indigenous people in Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras to be slaughtered by thugs and bums and killers that we trained down here at Fort Benning. I can remember during George Herbert Walker Bush presidency talking about essentially some of the same stuff because the murderous assaults against democracy in Central America continued. And I can remember during the Carter administration, talking about the same thing. No, wait a minute. Stop. Back up. I wasn't in talk radio during the Carter administration. I got them backwards. Reagan, it was Carter first. Reagan, George Herbert Walker Bush, and then Clinton. I can remember during the Clinton administration talking about the bombing of Serbia, the first time Allied bombs fell in Central Europe since the end of World War II. It just went on and on and on. There was always some kind of a foreign policy issue that I found disagreeable, whether it had to do with the treatment of the Palestinians by the Israeli government, whether it had to do with the two or three wars we had against the Iraqi people for no fucking reason whatsoever, Reagan's bombing of Libya, which killed Gaddafi's stepdaughter. I think it was his stepdaughter or adopted daughter. There was always these presidents, these Republican presidents, were always doing shit that screamed for criticism, that screamed for pulling back the curtain and talking about what the bastards were doing. And Clinton. But and George W. Bush, too. But with Trump, it's just day in and day out slop from these portable Johns that you see outside of public or outdoor gatherings. That's the kind of slop that is the Trump administration. It's unbelievable. And now he's picked a fight with the husband of his top advisor, Kellyanne Conway. I wonder what the fuck she advises him on. What does that woman do besides come out and issue non-statements about non-events that is nonsense? I mean, what does she do? But her husband, George, is a real firebrand right-winger. I don't care for anything that George Conway stands for. A lot of Republicans have, in media and academia, have made the definitive statements over and over again that they think Trump is an asshole and that he's not a Republican, that he's not a conservative. Well, no shit, but you people still created him. But anyway, poor old George Conway. Trump tweeted, I think today, George Conway, often referred to as Mr. Kellyanne Conway. Oh, right in the balls, right, Donald? You got him right in the nuts, huh? Mr. Kellyanne Conway. Way to go there, Donnie. By those who know him, is very jealous of his wife's success and angry that I, with her help, didn't give him the job he so desperately wanted. Conway didn't want a job. Trump offered it to him, and Conway turned him down. Oh, my fucking word. Trump went on, I barely know him, but take a look, a stone-cold loser and husband from hell. He's a whack job. There's no question about it. But I really don't know him. That's what he said on his way to Lima, Ohio today. Trump added, quote, I think he's doing a tremendous disservice to a wonderful wife. Kellyanne is a wonderful woman, and I call him Mr. Kellyanne. The fact is that he's doing a tremendous disservice to a wife and family. She's a wonderful woman. Well, let me see. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, Kellyanne will probably be gone within the next 7 days. Now, what Conway wrote on Monday, what he tweeted over the weekend, I should say, first of all, he's long been critical of Trump, as most conservatives, real conservatives, would be. But the attacks between the two ratcheted up when Conway questioned Trump's mental health. Remember, he tweeted those screenshots of the medical definition of narcissistic personality disorder and antisocial personality disorder, both of which Trump fits into as neatly as you could imagine. He just slides right in to both. And the tweets, or the screenshots, are from the DSM-5. Conway wrote Monday, tweeted Monday, quote, all Americans should be thinking seriously now about Trump's mental condition and psychological state, including and especially the media, Congress, and the vice president and cabinet. And he responded to Trump's Wednesday attacks, today's attacks, by writing, quote, you seem determined to prove my point. Good for you, hashtag narcissistic personality disorder. In another tweet, Conway wrote simply, you, period, are, period, nuts, period. Kellyanne doesn't know what the fuck to do. And that's so typical of a good Christian conservative white lady. She didn't know what to do. Well, my husband's over here, and my God, president is over here. Oh, what to do? And they're having a tiff. What to do? She said this Monday, when she came out to stand in the driveway, looking like she'd had a rough night, she said, quote, I have 4 kids. And I was getting them out of the house this morning to talk to the president about substance, so I may not be up to speed on all his tweets. She told Politico that Trump, quote, left it alone for months out of respect for me, but you think he shouldn't respond when somebody, bitch, this is your husband! Somebody! Have you ever referred to me as somebody?
Not intention.
What? Somebody. But you think he shouldn't respond? referring to Trump, when somebody, a non-medical professional, accuses him of having a mental disorder, you think he should just take that sitting down? What the fuck? This is not like Mary Madeline and James Carville. They treated each other with respect, even though Carville was the uber liberal and Madeline was the uber conservative. But these two, Kellyanne added, don't play psychiatrist any more than George should be. You're not a psychiatrist, and he's not. And he's not. What? Don't play psychiatrist any more than George. That makes no sense, Kellyanne. Now, in an that it cracks me up. But you think he shouldn't respond when somebody, somebody points out that the emperor, not only does he have no clothes, he is a fat, ugly piece of Caucasian bullshit fascist Nazi? You're supposed to be quiet? Jesus Christ. George Conway, in an interview with the New York Times and the Washington Post yesterday, said he uses Twitter as an outlet for his frustrations with the administration so he doesn't argue with his wife at home. Now, that may be a ha-ha, giggle-giggle line, but I think there's also some truth to it. He added, George did, quote, the mendacity, the incompetence, it's just maddening to watch, referring to Trump. No shit. The tweeting is just the way to get it out of the way so I can get it off my chest and move on with my life that day. That's basically it. Frankly, it's so I don't end up screaming at her about it, end quote. And then Trump sought today to justify his Twitter bullying, this prick bastard, slamming the media in the process. Trump has so many enemies, doesn't he? This paranoid fuck, doesn't he? Trump said, quote, I think that Twitter is a way that I get out a word when I have a corrupt media. He says he has over 100 million people who follow him on Twitter. Well, actually, it's 63 million, but who's counting? Trump went on, he said, quote, it's a way that I can get honesty out because there's tremendous dishonesty with respect to the media. Can you fucking believe that? Trump uses Twitter to get honesty out. Go ahead, say something.
I'm still, you know, I watched that little press gaggle on the tarmac this morning.
And yeah.
You know, he was walking up, approaching them, I guess, you know, from several feet away. And as he's walking up, he's going, no collusion, no collusion, no collusion. It makes me wonder if he doesn't just wander around now just saying, no collusion, no collusion.
He's sick.
It's like a subliminal message or a mantra, or you just picture him sitting there in front of MSNBC with a cheeseburger. No collusion. No collusion. It was the damnedest thing. And then he kept saying, out of the blue, out of nowhere, this guy is going to write a report just out of nowhere. It's like, out of nowhere? surely this isn't the first time hearing about it.
You know, honestly, what gets me right in my political gut, almost as much as this monster in the White House, is the total acquiescence and submission that his cabinet shows around him. You take a super Christian, oh my sweet fucking Jesus, a super Christian like Mike Pence, who, had he not been selected by Trump as Trump's running mate, would have lost his seat in Congress. But there's Mike Pence, who I'm sure goes to church every Sunday to praise the Lord, right? But the way Pence and the rest of these cabinet members, they fucking know what they're dealing with. There have been so many insider books written now that show the degree to which his cabinet and his vice president sit there like a bunch of goddamn zombies and never say a word. And I hope history treats Mike Pence and the rest of these cowardly sons of bitches in his cabinet the way they deserve to be treated. As a bunch of cowardly, silent, near traitorous little puppies that Trump just kicks around at his convenience. And what does Pence say? Look at Pence. Pence always has this look on his face. How you doing today, Mike? Mr. President, how am I doing today? I'm going to do okay. What?
Again, my classic Mike Pence moment was for whatever reason when Trump at that little conference table put his water bottle on the floor, and in his peripheral vision, Pence never even looked at Trump, but he just picked his water bottle up and put it on the floor, right, like Simon Says. That was strange. That is still so strange.
God. Let me mention again, Susan from Seattle, now in Georgia, is our sponsor tonight. And her message, hi all, I'm excited about the new format, which you're hearing tonight, and all the great deals on how to buy a podcast. New year, new rants, keep it lit. Susan, a.k.a. For Earth. Oh, that's right. One thing I forgot to mention, our new format includes once a week a bonus hour, a bonus that was the week that was type thing that will only go to our subscribers. It won't be broadcast over the web. It'll just go to our subscribers. So we have that coming up too. Lots of fun and frivolity. I'm going to try with all my might not to talk about this orange son of a bitch tomorrow. There are other things that desperately need some attention. I'll see you then. Happy spring. In the meantime, I guess I shouldn't say that when I think about what I talked about last night, the farmers in the Midwest. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.